Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until 10. It is Wednesday now and it is the 19th of February, 2025. Dull and misty in Dublin, I can tell you. These are good times, I'd say, for sun holiday salespeople. Send your maudlin musings to us in the usual fashion, please, on the WhatsApp. That's 087 032 32 32. And you can also email Oliver at rte.ie. Yeah. Jason Byrne is with us. He's going to be live in studio with us this morning. I have never met Jason Byrne, but I'm a big fan and he has had an extraordinary career. He's been in Edinburgh forever. He's very big in London, right across Britain, really. Huge in Melbourne as well, and very big in Finland, we're going to discover as well this morning. And of course, always tours Ireland, up and down every element of coast, every county, never-ending tours, really. Memorably in Father Ted, and memorably in the Young Offenders as well. He's kind of done everything. You know, you'd almost expect that he should be just coming in today to announce that he should probably stop now. You've done everything, you could stop. And the only research I did for this, by the way, was watching old clips of Jason Byrne on YouTube, which is the perfect antidote, I just discovered yesterday, when you've read far too much current affairs. Just get on the YouTube. So looking forward to that chat with Jason Byrne. He's from Ballinteer. A mysterious place to be in Dublin, and I suspect to even people in Dublin, to be quite honest. What's going on here now? Okay, I'll have a look at the Examiner first of all this morning, because I've mentioned here before that Micheál Martin has some sort of White House curse that follows him around, because he got COVID, and lockdowns has knocked out one of his first visits. Then he got COVID, was pulled out of a dinner and had to meet Joe Biden in the Oval Office via TV link from across the road. And now he's had no invite yet coming from the Trump White House, although the Department of Foreign Affairs are going, no, it's perfectly normal to be this late. It's definitely coming. Yes, he loves us. He loves us still. And now the front page of the Examiner, which he wouldn't miss, I'd imagine, over his morning hard-boiled egg, which is also his breakfast and lunch. Martin's trip to the White House in doubt amid a potential US federal government shutdown. They're edging towards a full shutdown next month unless the Democrats can agree to approve a funding bill by the 14th of March. That's the very day that Micheál Martin is expected to go to the White House and get a dressing down from Donald Trump, or at least do a sort of a nervous... You can see him practicing at the moment in the doll, can't you? That he's got this ferociousness burning inside him. He's steeling himself for a month's time when he's going to be in front of Donald Trump, because he's just like, it's like spinning plates. He's hammering down the opposition every time they get up, and he's still trolling them on the Irish language. There was a letter. You've heard that in Morning Ireland. Ancient Brega actually means untruth, and he's picked out obscure dictionaries to go, yes, it means untruth, not a lie. He's not apologising. It's a two-page letter. And he was also he's trolling Count Coryl of Rona Murphy when he was replying to Mary Lou yesterday saying, Níl sé sin fíor. As in, you know, that's not true. And there was kind of broad panic. And he was smacking down Paul Murphy. He was smacking down Ivana Bacik. And he was lashing out at Sinn Féin. And he seems to be extremely confident. Whereas Simon Harris has kind of gone missing a little bit. Micheál Martin. But one of the reasons he was slapping down Paul Murphy, because with the ructions in the door, you forget the actual point, was to do with data centres, which is in the news as well this morning. And Paul Murphy was saying basically we have climate obligations, climate action obligations, and that allowing more and more data centres to be built in Ireland are the issue. And Micheál Martin slapped him down by saying, look, this is to do with jobs and we have to do everything these companies say from now on. Seemed to be the inference anyway. Why are data centres in the news? In the Irish Independent this morning, half of all the electricity produced in the Dublin Meath region is being used by data centres that the energy regulator has revealed. The regulator is the Commission for Regulation of Utilities, which I lost you halfway through even saying what the CRU is. Despite national climate action obligations, it said it does not have legal powers to force data centres to use clean energy. So just they link up to the old gas-fired electricity grid we basically have. And there was a 2-year moratorium on data centres, which left business lobby groups very angry, obviously because we had the Green Party, I suppose, in government. There was a stop on them. And data centres already use 21% of all electricity in the whole country, and just the Republic, soaring from 5% 10 years ago. But there's a big concentration on the East Coast. Dublin Meath, obviously the most populous part of the country, just absolutely hosing the electricity out. they don't go down in a storm, if you're thinking, because they are clones. So you build one data centre to protect all the cat videos and your selfies in the gigantic hard drive. They clone it. There's another one exactly the same in storage in somewhere in Holland or Denmark, which is the capital. And actually something often forgotten or overlooked in the power that these things require is also the water that's used. And by the way, if you don't know what a data centre is, you have a hard drive probably in your house, the heart of the computer or your laptop. You know, it goes when you're watching too many Jason Byrne videos on YouTube, it starts to, the fan starts whirring away to cool it down. So data centres are basically gigantic versions of hard drives. And they operate automatically. They create very few jobs. But when Micheál Martin talks about protecting the jobs, he means the wider tech industry. Huge amounts of heat are generated, so it needs to be cooled down. So along with the fans, you've got the water. And the Facebook data centre, that's the Meta company in Clonie in South Meath, is near Blanchardstown in Dublin. That's a permanent building site. It already consumes more electricity than Cork, all of Cork. And when it's finished, it'll be about 2.5 times the size of Croke Park, and it needs tons of water. And in the summer, if we get a hot period in the summer, it could be 5 million litres of water a day. That would be the equivalent of all the water used by Dundalk in a single day when they're all washing themselves, whatever. And the excess heat that it throws off literally just goes off into the air in Ireland. In places like Sweden and Denmark, they force them to heat private homes for free as part of the planning. But there are no stipulations on tech companies in Ireland. However, I was reading the first district heating system is now operating in Talla. So they use the excess heat from a data centre in that area, and it heats the South Dublin County Council headquarters, the local library there, and TU Dublin's Talla campus. And affordable apartments, 133 affordable apartments, are going to be serviced by the heat source apparently in 2025. So keep an eye out, see if that actually happens. How many do we have? Denmark, capital of data centres of the world before us because of all the chilly air. They have 42 data centres right now. Ireland has 82. 14 more are being built right at the moment, and they have granted planning permission for another 40. So what's that now? That's 96 plus 40. 136 data centres we'll have versus there'll be 100 more nearly than Danes. And there are various reports over and conflicting reports. The energy grid is going to need about 9 billion euro worth of taxpayers' money to upgrade it to cope with this demand. But the government says it's about the jobs, but it's also about the amount of tax that we get from these tech companies as well. The CSO puts the IT sector employment levels at about 120,000 jobs right now. That's out of 2.4 million people who work in the country. It's often forgotten most of the people who work in Ireland are in small and middling businesses, basically, sized companies, which are Irish businesses. And the number of the IT sector has ironically been going down. Because of the rolling layoffs for the last 3 years, basically, that's going on. Someone has texted in to say, the sun is out in the city centre. It's the Dublin city centre. And then they texted in, same text, 1 minute later, the sun has jumped back in. But it was there, I swear. But remember we learned yesterday the meteorological definition for a dull day is if it's less than half an hour of sunlight a day, sunshine. It's a dull day so far. Well, this will be day 10 now in a row, wouldn't it, of dull days in Dublin. But it's much worse in Donegal, we were told. By the way, are you following this? Speaking of the United States and everything, are you following the incredible story of the mayor of New York City? It is incredible. So the mayor of New York City has been a kind of a global figure since the days of Rudy Giuliani, 9/11 and so on. And right now, the mayor of that great city is Eric Adams. He's a Democrat because it's a true blue state. He's the mayor since January 2022. He has stood accused of corruption charges, which were put out and put to him last September. He denies the charges. But there's a big twist because Trump's Department of Justice has ordered all the charges to be dropped in the last few weeks, and it has spiraled into a whole lot of things. But I need to give you the information. What are the charges? Well, basically, they allege that he enjoyed free, big discounted trips with Turkish Airlines, which is owned by the Turkish state, worth tens of thousands of dollars all around the globe for years. Whether he's going to India, France, Turkey itself, Sri Lanka, China, Hungary, he always goes with Turkish Airlines and goes business class and so on. And the indictments claim that Eric Adams went out of his way to fly with them, even if it means, you know, going way out of the way. And he texted his girlfriend in 2017 because they've got all his text messages now, the ones that weren't deleted. You know, the first stop is always Istanbul. He texted his girlfriend, misspelling Istanbul. When she wanted to travel from New York to Chile, he asked her to first check if Turkish Airlines flew there. wanted to go from New York to Chile via Istanbul. The indictment describes multiple instances where Turkish business people who are barred by law in America from contributing, donating to a campaign for his mayoral campaign, they found what they call straw donors. These are American citizens that they can kind of give, funnel their money to Eric Adams instead. He denies all of this, by the way. So he's got gifts and contributions, they allege. They also say that he granted political favours, like using his influence to fast-track the inspection and approval of a Turkish consulate building in Manhattan despite fire safety concerns. So he looked really doomed until bright idea. And I'll let Stephen Colbert, because he is now, Eric Adams is the darling of late night comedy hosts. First of all, Stephen Colbert explains the thing with the whole text messages going on and what New York Mayor Eric Adams does to save himself.
But it gets guiltier because when planning a different trip to Turkey, his staffer texted Adams, to be on the safe side, please delete all messages you send me. To which Adam replied, always do. Adding, including this one, it would be really embarrassing if it ended up in an indictment or on television being read out loud by a handsome and charming late night host. So Adams was, he was in deep trouble. It did not look good for him. But then, like a flash, it hit him. He wasn't the only high-profile New York criminal in public office, so he immediately got all cozy with Donald Trump. And after Trump won, Adams traveled down to Palm Beach to have lunch with him at Mar-a-Lago. And then, and instead of celebrating MLK Day here in New York, he left in the middle of night to attend Trump's inauguration. Well, he had to leave at midnight. No, he had to leave at midnight, folks, because that's the only flight from New York to Washington. Via Istanbul.
So there you go. So that's what he does. He makes this mad swerve, this Democrat mayor, towards Donald Trump last year and announced he would cooperate with a big crackdown on illegal immigration. He's agreeing to use Rikers Island, that infamous prison island in the East River in the Bronx, to detain migrants there. And then when the US attacked acting deputy attorney general, Emile Beauvais, instructed prosecutors in New York last week to drop all the charges, saying this case could interfere with the mayor's re-election bid and also his efforts to enforce immigration on behalf of the Trump administration. And crucially, he said, this decision is not based on a consideration of the evidence or legal theories underpinning this case. And crucially here, this is the fun part from the Trump angle, is the charges are not being entirely dropped, just pause, because he's using the term without prejudice. So Trump can still hold sway over Eric Adams if he doesn't do his bidding. Side note, Emile Beauvais, that new deputy AG, is the former personal defence lawyer for Trump in that New York case. Remember where he was convicted last year? Oh, it all seems like 100 years ago now. And so he announced we're going to drop the case, but all the prosecutors on the case have all quit instead and have accused President Trump's appointees of acting for political instead of legal reasons. And all of the supervisors within the Justice Department's public integrity section have followed suit. Mass resignations. They are refusing to sign the documents that this federal AG wants to put through. One of the lawyers says they were baffled by the idea of walking away from such a strong case and added that we're planning to bring more charges against Adams because they've got such a mountain of evidence. And now there's more trouble. In the last couple of days, more resignations followed, this time from the mayor's office himself, because he's got 8 New York deputy mayors. 4 of them said they had to go. They've no longer faith in his ability to work for the benefit of the city while he's got all these legal problems. And now the governor of New York State, who is Kathy Hochul, she is now considering sacking him and she's going to investigate whether that is legal. Eric Adams says, I'm not standing down, I'm stepping up. And he's been using this over and over again since September. So it's a huge fall in this fascinating story. It's kind of rags to power rise of Eric Adams, who had an amazing story. He's the first black mayor in New York for nearly 30 years. He was the son of a woman who cleaned houses and a butcher who patrolled the city's streets. He himself retired from the NYPD, the rank of captain, and went for his long-held political ambitions. First, he was a state senator. Then he was in Brooklyn borough president and finally became the 110th mayor. And now he's facing ridicule and maybe even a sacking. Here's a good one. Jimmy Fallon. Adams is the first sitting mayor of New York City to be indicted. It's shocking. When Rudy Giuliani heard that, he was like, that can't be right. Jimmy Kimmel says, fellow Democrats are calling on Eric Adams to resign. Republicans are urging him to run for the governor of North Carolina. There you go. That is the crack. And so now you know everything about New York mayor. I am obsessed. I'll be bringing you more and more and more as we go. Now it's 50 years since this song was released. Can you believe it? For all the Boss fans out there, of which Mr. Jason Byrne is one.